Okay. Very nice to see you this morning.
Yeah, thanks.
How are things in Reynosa?
Well,
starting to get back to more normal, it seems.
Are you're on the, you live on the American side now, is that right?
Hey, Whittington.
There's Whittington and the Coins.
Yeah, David and, or Catherine Coyne are on, probably David. We may have a few more folks join us.
Hey, good morning.
There's the one. Hi, David. Well, let's just go ahead and start. And we're so glad that you can join us, Aaron and Carlos. It's nice to see your faces, and just to see the brief updates that we had, the prayer requests, and what you're doing, and exciting to hear you're starting a school. But just kind of start, give us an idea how it's going for you personally, your family. I know you have two children now. Is that right?
No, you start.
Yeah, it's going well. We're with the kids, we're in a stage where they're, you know, running around all the time and have way more energy than we do. So we both have become coffee drinkers, and it seems out of necessity. But yeah, it's going well. And we moved to the Texas side. Carlos is working on getting his citizenship. So we've been adapting to living on this side, where we had to kind of rebuild community.
Yeah.
Not just in Reynosa, but on the Texas side. So little by little, it's been good, connecting with Christians on this side as well, and looking for opportunities for our kids to socialize. And so yeah, it's been going good. And Carlos gets to be with us sometimes, working from home, kind of a hybrid, which has been nice as well. With, you know, COVID kind of turned everything upside down in terms of the whole work routine. And so we changed pace somewhat, but yeah, it's been good. And my days aren't terribly exciting. Usually it's just taking care of the kids, but it's good. So
what ages are your children?
Two and
four.
And four, yeah.
You are busy.
Yeah.
We understand that. So, and then Carlos, now we'll launch into the work part. My memory was you were working on a sort of major curriculum project.
Yeah. I'm still working on that. Now, the teachers that have been longer with us, they are getting really good to write their own lessons, you know, with this Christian perspective. So yeah. Now I have to focus more on the new teachers. So that's what I've been doing lately.
Uh-huh. And in terms of national acceptance of this, is that progressing too, of this curriculum? Mm-hmm.
Like the acceptance within the
Mexico. Yes. In general, I think most of the parents in Mexico, they are looking for a Christian option. I will say before this whole pandemic, a lot of parents, they never consider the idea of homeschool or Christian school. But now they are trying to find like a good curriculum out there. And we don't have that many in Spanish. We have maybe only two or three, and you know, not the best, you know, like the ones you have in the States. So yeah, it's becoming very, very popular, and people want it everywhere.
And I noticed where you're planning to start a school in Achilles.
Yes.
So yeah, tell us about that.
That's kind of the tentative plan. It came to us separately, but we both were talking, you know, several months ago. Our daughter Ellie will be starting school in 2022. We'll be starting kindergarten, and so we had thought about doing homeschool. But we thought, like, if we were going to do the work to do homeschool, like, why not include other kids in that process, in that journey, if we were going to be doing that work? So in the back of my head and my heart has been for years that in Aquiles, it's going to be necessary to have a school. If you want to really impact the culture of the Colonia, we have to be involved in the kids' lives in their formational years, not just at outreach, which is good, and that's a good place to start, but more importantly, to be with them on a daily basis and really being there as they're forming their minds and their worldview. So, yeah, it kind of came to us separately, but as we got talking, we thought maybe this would be a good thing to combine both the desire to educate our own kids, but also something in the neighborhood. And so we, you know, we've thrown it out to the mission and just asked that through sabbatical that they pray with us, that God confirm if that's what he has for us. And then just for wisdom to know, obviously we need to build a lot of structure around that and accountability. And if we, you know, to invite kids into that, we don't just want it to be like willy-nilly where parents just drop their kids off and go on their way. We really want the parents to be involved and in some ways for them to be growing up with their kids in the school. I mean, kind of in our mind, we don't know what God's going to do, but we visualize young parents who probably haven't had the love and attention they need and to kind of raise them along with their kids some ways through what we offer. So yeah, there needs to be a lot of accountability and we need to just pray about how to kind of create and set a tone there that is so that it'll be a blessing and the chaos of the neighborhood doesn't kind of set the tone of whatever we do there. So yeah, we have still a lot of questions and need a lot of wisdom, but sabbatical is going to be a time for us to just confirm that and just to pray through that and just see if that's what God is working and calling us to.
Yeah. That's clearly a ministry that's near and dear to my heart. And Judy Kaiser on with us this morning. We were part of starting Montgomery Christian School here and oriented toward underprivileged kids in this city with very much the same objective to also involve parents. And while a different context, there are plenty of models I would think you could find that people were trying to do this similar things, whether here in the U.S. or mm-hmm. perhaps there in other border towns on either side of the border. I would guess you'll find some examples. And we kind of just followed what other people were doing. We literally did what somebody else was doing right here in mm-hmm. Montgomery, but who had a K-4 program. But so we started a K-5, but and literally everything they were doing, we did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, we'll have to lean into the wisdom of those who have gone before us for sure. And the idea would be that we start maybe with just the grade that my daughter's in and then every year add a grade because we really have to start pretty small and just kind of feel it out. Like I'm very familiar with the neighborhood. I've worked there for many, many, many years, but this would be a really a different level of interaction and commitment. So yeah, a lot to pray about, but we're excited as well.
Yeah. How about the larger ministry and what role, Carlos, you probably fill in that too? Are you're pretty much focused on the school mm-hmm. or you're connected with the neighborhood too?
I would say I'm mainly focused on the school.
Yeah.
Usually because, you know, the school runs in the morning from 8 to 3 or 4. And then the outreach ministry focus in the afternoon from like 4 to 7. So usually I'm at the school in the morning and then Erin is with the kids all day. So usually at 4 p.m., Erin comes to me and says, "Hey, Carlos, it's time for you to be with the kids." So that's more like my ministry in the afternoons, you know, being around my own kids. So I'm not very related to the rest of the ministry. I think with the possibility of the school, both Aaron and I were going to be more related, because now we're going to be in touch with the parents and with the little kids, you know. And like she already said, our idea right now is to start with little kids, about our kids' age, and then every year adding another grade, you know, as the kids grow, we can have older grades.
Right. And that's exactly what we did. We actually did kindergarten for 2 years before we added first grade. But with your daughter needing to move on, I could see where you would want to just jump in one grade per year. But as I recall, you have a pretty good model already from your school in terms of involving parents. Mm-hmm. Helping them to learn to sign, perhaps, but that gives you the involvement that you need. You could adapt probably many of the things you're already doing into Achilles with some other necessary additions there.
Yeah, and we'd also like it to be bilingual. So one of the things that we've kind of thought about is we'd like to eventually recruit teachers from the U.S. who would do, you know, the model of Teach for America, but, you know, you'd commit to maybe 2-3 years in Reynosa where you teach in English. And so, yeah, we think, you know, get some energetic young folks in here who would be willing to give some time teaching, and that would be really attractive and really beneficial to have native English teachers. And so, yeah, that too, we'll see kind of if the Lord confirms that with, you know, as we, if it's going to happen, if we present that and we find people who feel called to do that as well.
Yeah, and there are other models I know like that. I have a cousin who's done that in another country, but part of the draw for this is Native American English speakers who will come and teach, and I couldn't speak the language that the people, but I was teaching English. And so it was kind of, and he's built a little church network out of that even. But I don't need to be the only one talking. Somebody else.
Well, I'm not saying this to discourage you, but we've had about 14 years of experience from starting the school. And so we would, it's a difficult thing, and it's an expensive thing. And, we would, I'm sure, love to talk to you more about that. Perhaps give you some advice, along the way. And as you pray about it, because, we received so much wonderful advice from, so many people who had done this before us, and were very grateful for their input. So if we can be helpful in talking to you at another time, we'd love to do that.
Yeah, I think that'd be wonderful. I'd love to, and maybe we can have almost like a board of folks who, you know, have experience in that, who can help guide and speak into this. And we have a wonderful board for the mission, but that's not necessarily their forte. So just even a school, you know, a school board of folks who can, or a committee who can help kind of pray with us and speak into that. I think that'd be wonderful, because
the school for the deaf, does that start at 8 a.m. and go through the day? Is that, I'm not sure about your schedule, but.
Well, yeah, the school for the deaf for the students go from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Okay.
Yeah. That's right. And then the rest of the day is for the teachers to plan and prepare, you know, for next day. And yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, our experience even with the school for the deaf has, I think the biggest area of challenge over the years has been conflict among teachers. And we've always just kind of felt like the enemy has really worked in that area to cause disunity. And so it's been a real challenge, because if people aren't happy with who they're working with, they leave and cause problems. And so I feel like that's been a big challenge for us, and something that, having gone through it for years, you know, is something we need to consider as we look at, you know, who we bring in as teachers and how we train them and all of that. So I know that's one. And just obviously the dynamics of the neighborhood and the families, and a lot of the things that come along with that. I think for us, what's, you know, highly motivational is, and we know because we will have our own kids there, is that we will do our very best to create a space that's loving and where the gospel is going to be in the center. And so I think that's, you know, for us, the personal touch makes it challenging in different ways, but also exciting in different ways too. So yeah, I mean, we have some reticence in that. So we're just laying it before the Lord and just asking that he confirm that. And it'd also be for me, I've been with the kids, you know, for the last few years. And so I haven't been hands-on with the mission. I help in kind of an auxiliary role. I advise the newer folks on different things, and I help just in the background where I can. So this would be stepping in more fully again, which will also be a new change of pace. And I would need, you know, wisdom for that as well, just shifting, you know, gears again.
How has it gone for the school, the deaf school, during COVID? You were probably shut down for a while, and...
Well, we didn't shut down, you know, around March, April, when everything started. We just shift to use videos, you know, to do it online.
Yeah.
It was fun at the beginning, but then we realized that a lot of our students, they don't have internet service at their homes. So they had to use their phones, you know, their parents' phone, but then their data ran out really fast watching videos. So this school year, when we started last summer, some parents, they were able to hire, is it hire or como contratar el servicio?
Just to get the service.
Yeah, they were able to get the service. Others, you know, they talk to their neighbor and pay maybe 50%, you know, to get the code, the passcode, or so eventually we were able to help most of the students, you know, to be connected. We got some tablets, and we provide them, you know, with the tablets, and so we try to do our best so that they could be connected. All the teachers and myself, we learn how to record ourselves, how to edit the videos. He asked us explicitly that he want the videos, all the videos with signs, to have voice in the background, so that the parents can understand what the teachers are saying. You know, so we have to add the voice in the back. Sometimes we have to add subtitles. So I think everyone, we became proficiency, you know, in a basic level of how to work online. So there were a few months that it was hard, especially when teachers or parents were getting sick. But I would say last Friday was the last day of classes for the students, and I think we had a pretty good end of the school year. I would say maybe we only lose maybe 3-4 students. Wow. They were not able to connect or they start working, especially the older kids. You know, they just start working in the factories around the city. But from the other kids, it was a very good experience.
Yeah, and Mexico hasn't given the green light yet to go back to school. So that's a federally that across the country, I think they're going to slowly start integrating kids back into classrooms. So next year, hopefully, the kids, I mean, with the deaf, obviously that's ideal to be in person and hands-on, especially with the younger ones. But all that they learned through this past year, I think will be a blessing to be able to send out curriculum even to other areas, because we've added this proficiency of video and internet that wasn't really there before.
How many are normally involved in the school on a day-to-day?
How many?
Students or?
Teachers. Students.
Students. I would say 20, 22. Yeah.
What other updates do you have for us, or just things that we need to pray about that maybe didn't get into that, those prayer requests that you passed to us?
Well, so, something related to the school, maybe you already know, is that we start offering sign language classes for hearing people. And with all these new technology like, that we're using right now, you know, like Zoom and other platforms, it's been a great success. You know, one of our teachers, she does it in the afternoon, and he has like hundreds and hundreds of students from all around Mexico. You know, now they can be everywhere. So I think that's becoming very, very popular. It's becoming a blessing, you know, that we can share the sign language with a lot of hearing people who wants to learn, so they can help deaf kids around. And also we start recording some videos of a kid's Bible. And we are doing the same, you know, doing the signs, doing voice, and you know, we maybe in about a year, 2 years, we want to have, it's like 40 lessons, like the main stories for kids. So we hope to have that available online, you know, for anybody. So those two projects are becoming good.
That's exciting to hear, because we've heard similar stories from other folks just like you, different places around the world, who, as hard as COVID has been in many ways, interruptions and so forth, and yet it's extended their reach to people they could never have connected with in the past through learning all this technology, and how to use it appropriately. So it's great to hear that you too have adapted in a way that, you know, how you continue doing that, I guess, you know, time will tell, but it's just opened up a whole new sort of field for you.
Yeah, and I think even as they go back to class in person, we'll probably keep an element of online instruction. This past year, there was a couple students who started class with us who, or what part of Mexico are they from?
I think one was Chiapas.
Oh, yeah. So southern.
Another, like, center of Mexico.
Like central and southern Mexico were able to connect to classes, because there won't ever be schools for the deaf in remote or smaller regions. I mean, even if they develop schools in all the big cities, you're going to always have an element of people who, there's not enough of a community of deaf for them to form a school or for the teachers to bother to learn sign language. So that's always going to be a potential. It may not be as good as in person, but it's better than not having any access to language. So that's something we want to continue to explore too, is maintaining some sort of online, whether it's through videos or actual, you know, face-to-face instruction with a teacher.
Carlos, have you been Zooming with the children, or is it all by videos that you just send to them?
Oh, it's a mix. It's a mix of the teacher, they, every day they had to record one video. And then the last 30 minutes of the day, it's a Zoom call where they try to grab everything, you know, they see during the day. Obviously, the little the kids are, they pay less attention to the video. So they get very distracted. That's why we have to keep using a mix like Zoom and recorded video. Also, some parents didn't have time to sit down with their kids in the morning. So the advantage of the video is that they can watch it later, you know, in the afternoon or in the weekend. But yeah, we have to do a mix of both.
Well, I would think it would be so helpful for the children to feel part of the class, not to be isolated and to feel like. So I think that's as much of that as you can do. That would, I think, be a real asset.
Yeah.
Other questions or comments, anyone?
How are your children adapting so far to their move and finding friends and that kind of thing? How can we specifically pray for them?
Yeah, our oldest Ellie is 4, and we've put her in a little Christian preschool here that's in the town where we're living. And she really enjoys it. And, she just goes 3 mornings a week, but it's good. She's very, very, very attached and has a lot of separation anxiety. And I mentioned that in our prayer request just because in August we'll be going to Colorado for a week. So we've been prepping her for that. So, that's been really good. And she, you know, she's getting to practice being away from us and be with other students. And, she's decided her name is Miss Carrot, and so she comes home and teaches us classes. And boy, Miss Carrot has a lot of authority here in our house. So she's got a teaching stick, and nobody's safe from her instruction. And then our son Ian Kuiper, he's 2, and he's very adaptable. He just wants to be included in whatever's going on right now. So he's Miss Carrot's primary pupil, but he doesn't obey very well. So, well, yes, she calls him Principal Pickles, but she doesn't treat him like the principal. He's, and he never does what she wants him to do. So I usually have to step in and kind of help out. But no, I mean, they're doing well. We don't take them down to Mexico that often because, well, COVID's just been really weird in and of itself. The border is still closed to non-essential travel, so we can cross back and forth because they let Americans and U.S. residents cross back and forth, but not Mexicans on tourist visas. So it's still kind of, we're still in a weird place here. And that's another, I would say another prayer request is we as a ministry need to navigate when to bring volunteers down and what that looks like. And trying to honor, you know, a country whose laws are different than ours and in many ways more restrictive. And so, yeah, we still don't know for this summer if we'll be having teams down because every month they make a decision for the following month regarding the border. So this week, probably by the end of this week, we should know if they open it or close it for the next month. And so we're just waiting. And of course, we have all these volunteers who are waiting and want to know what to do and we don't have a lot of information to give them. And so it's been really challenging. Last summer, obviously too, we were waiting, we just could never imagine they would close the border in the first place and then it would stay closed for months. And now it's been over a year. It's been 15 months now. So, so many new normals that we're navigating as you all are there as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you may know this. We had a team that was hoping to come, and of course they had to cancel because of the border did not open yet. So I'm hoping to be a part of the February team if that's, you know, things have opened up by then. But we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I mean, we sure hope so. We just couldn't have imagined it would have gone this long. So we'll see. We have 3 teams potentially coming in July, depending on the decision made this week or the next week. So.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Anyone else? Questions, comments?
How long will you be on sabbatical?
Well, it's not a definitive period, but it's usually around 6 months. We'll have a sabbatical team that'll kind of assess and see. It may be sooner than that, they'll kind of assess how we're doing and when they feel like we're ready to re-engage. So, and that's, we start that in August and we'll be doing some travel to see family. We don't have real set plans yet on what exactly that's going to look like. And of course, also because Ellie's in preschool, we want to try to maintain a pattern of her engaging with other kids and, so we'll see. We'll kind of figure that out.
Well, I'm glad you're able to take the sabbatical. So I hope that goes well.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. who will keep your children while you're in that week, that first week?
Carlos's mom is coming, hopefully. You can fly across the border, but you can't drive across. So that's the plan. If the border doesn't open, we'll fly her here. And then I have a niece who's coming as well, and possibly one of Carlos's cousins. It takes a village to apparently to take care of our children. So yeah. But,
sort of a school board for the teacher.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, let us go to prayer. And Judy, could I ask, would you start us? Anyone else pray that you like, and I'll close this out.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we just are so thankful that we have this opportunity to be able to Zoom with Aaron and Carlos this morning and just hear more about their story and just hear about what you're doing in the ministry and in their personal lives as well, Lord. We just thank you for them, and we thank you for their willingness to serve and their energy and enthusiasm for the ministry. And Father, we just pray that you would continue to sustain them. We pray that during their sabbatical, Lord, that you will just speak to their hearts and to just be able to give them some wisdom and rest, and that they would have a clear picture during this time of how you want them to move forward. We pray for their daughter Ellie and just this struggle with separation anxiety, and we just pray that she will do well while they're while they go to this conference. And we pray that Carlos's mom will be able to come, and the niece, and that you will just go before them and gather together this team to help them while they're away, and that everything will go smoothly, Lord. We thank you for the new sign language team for hearing people, and for those volunteers, and for the way in which that is helping them with their ministry. And Lord, we pray for wisdom as they try to make decisions about their volunteer teams. And we do pray that the border will open up so that these volunteers who are anxious to come and help will be able to be a part of their ministry and contribute to their ministry. And we particularly pray that our team will be able to go. I know how enthused they are and how much they want to go down to help as well, Lord. So we pray that you would work that, all of that out. And I just also pray for Carlos as he has made application for citizenship, and just pray that you will work out all of those details that have to be taken care of. And then, Lord, I just lift up their desire to start a school to you, and just pray that you will give them the information that they need to move forward, and to give them the wisdom to make a decision about whether this is the right direction in which to go and how to balance that with their current ministry. So we just thank you for them. We pray your blessing upon their work, and I just pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Lord, I do just thank you for this time to be able to Zoom and see them and hear this, and I agree with all of Judy's prayers, Lord. We just lift you up, particularly on the sabbatical, Lord, that it would be a time of refreshment, a time of rest, and a time of growing closer to the Lord and giving you a clear vision of what the next step is. So thank you for your years of service there, and Lord, the blessings that have gone on and the impact it has made through us here at Trinity, to being so involved with you. So we look forward to the future work and to be more involved and to help you with your ministry there. And we pray this in Christ's name.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Carlos and Aaron and just the way that you're using them to help others. And, we thank you for them having this time of sabbatical and, to refresh and reflect. And, we pray that you would just give them wisdom and, their decision making on starting a new school, and just put people in their path that will guide them and give them encouragement and, speak truth to them and, just help them, on this journey that they're on. And we pray for their kids and, just in this time of transition and just in the crazy world that we're living in right now, we just pray that you would just, help them and, settling into new routines and, with separation anxieties and, just give them peace and comfort and just strengthen Carlos and Aaron and as they, manage through, working with their kids and just helping them grow and grow closer to you. We thank you for this technology that you have, given us in this day and age, and, that, we're able to communicate, the way we do, and that, that you're using this technology in Mexico to help reach people that otherwise wouldn't be able to be reached and, would just be forgotten. And, we just thank you that, Isaiah 55 and, is reaching out to those people and using this technology. And we just pray that it would spread farther and wider and, just reach more people and be a blessing to them. We just thank you for this time this morning and pray that you would, just guide all of our paths and, just help us to stay focused on you. In Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for Aaron and Carlos and just the role they filled over many years. Aaron, going back to Isaiah 55's very beginning and even before that with Kate and Nono. You brought Carlos along with great experience already and just the vital role that he's filled in this curriculum and continues in the school now. And just to see this family now with Miss Carrot and Principal Pickle. I pray your blessing on them as a family, first and foremost, as they connect with Christian community there and where they are now. And it's just been hard for everybody in this year. And yet I pray that they would be part of a body of believers that will support, encourage them and mutually so them with others. I pray for them as they go forward with the sabbatical to begin soon. And that you would help them think through the steps that you have for them in the future. And particularly as they look at starting this school, that you would give wisdom and guidance, that you would connect them with other schools that can be good role models and mentors for them. And just what a beautiful picture that would be to see that school in Achilles, Sudan, and how much that is needed there to have a Christian school presence right there in the neighborhood. So we pray that you would make that possible and that you would lead in all of the things, that the challenges that it is and the blessings and the opportunities that it represents as well. I pray for Isaiah 55 and the extended ministry, the deaf school and the ministry to children and parents there. And then the larger, effort there in Achilles, Sudan neighborhood, and just how much the gospel is needed in every place, in our own lives and in the lives of the people there, certainly, that you would bring light into the darkness there and that you would continue to sustain this ministry. That the many volunteers who are waiting would have the opportunity to come in due time, recognizing that you are sovereign and that you are at work even in ways that we don't understand or not even aware of many times, that we wait on your timing, Lord. We wait on your provision. We do what we do by your enabling, and that would be just Aaron and Carlos would ever be conscious of that as they parent, as they serve in this ministry, as they just go forward day by day, seeing your hand at work in their lives. Lord, we thank you for this time together and pray that each of us would glorify you in this day. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, there's one. I wondered what was happening with children this morning.
Hey.
Ah, there's cousins.
Oh, adorable.
Cheers.
Good morning.
We're so grateful for your support and prayers, and just such a blessing to us as a family and in the work we're doing. So just want to express that, and looking forward to the next time we get to visit you all.
Yeah, that'd be great. We'd love to have you here.
Yep.
Or us come there, whatever. Well, thank you again, and we'll let you go. But have a great day there, and God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, good to visit with you.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye.